Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Lamed Aleph. We were on let's start again on Lamed Amud Beis. Two dots. So we're talking about the topic of Eruvei Tchumin. Eruvei Tchumin is an amazing law that even though Mita Oraisa, biblically, you're limited in terms of how far you can walk on Shabbos. You can only walk 2,000 amos in each direction from your Shabbos spot. You can shift where your Shabbos spot is, either through your physical presence or through putting down food of two meals, that shifts where your spot is. So the common refrain is that the food has to be edible and accessible. So the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda says, you could eat, a Kohen could even put down his food for Eruv Tchumen to shift his spot in a cemetery, because that's also called accessible. He can get there in a wagon, he can get there in a box. So let's start again at that point. Two dots towards the bottom of Lamed Amud Beis. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Af Beis HaKvaros. Rabbi Yehuda says the Kohen can put the food for the Eruv Tchumen even in a cemetery. Tanu Linden Abraisa. Because he can create barriers and travel to the food in theory, not that he actually would, but in theory he could, through going in a wagon, going in a box, going in a closet that's portable. And then there is a barrier and an ohel, a tent, separating between him and the tumah. Okay, so that's a unique idea, that even though this tent is movable, these barriers are being carried, that they're also considered barriers. So that's Gemara now points that out. Kasav Rabbi Yehuda holds ohel zaruk, when you have a movable tent, shmei ohel, it still has the status of a tent with barriers, with roofs. All of these things are considered structures, even though they are moving. But this is not something which is universally accepted. This is a machlokas tana'im. The tanya we learned in a braisa. We know that the sages made a rabbinic impurity on the land that's outside of Eretz Yisrael. So we learned in a braisa. Nechnas la'eretz ha'amim b'shida teva u'migdol. If somebody is carried into that area outside of Israel, the land of the Gentiles, but he didn't walk into the land of the Gentiles, he was carried in a box. You know, nowadays he traveled in a helicopter. He traveled in a plane over Saudi Arabia. He got up in a plane. The plane went up in the morning, flew out of Israel, went over Saudi Arabia, and then came back to Israel. He's a Kohen. He's traveling over cemeteries. So does he become Tameh? Rebbe Metameh. Rebbe says he still becomes Tameh, even though he was in a box. He becomes Tameh because the box is a moving tent, and a moving tent cannot serve as a barrier for Tumah. However, Rabbi Yehuda says he's Tahar. So Rabbi Yehuda would be like the Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. So Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, is like his father, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that even a moving tent is considered a proper barrier. But my kamifugi, what's the argument? So the Gemara explains, Mar Sava Rabbi holds Oel Zarek Lav Shmei Oel. When you have, let's say, a multi-story building, and there's Tumah on the ground floor, and you're on floor number 10, okay, so the fact that the Tumah gets up to a roof of the ground floor gets stopped by that roof. It doesn't go higher. But that's because it's a structure that's permanent. When you have a structure that's moving, Ohel Zaruk, that's not considered a tent. So therefore, somebody's being carried in a box outside of Israel. The Tumah outside of Israel goes through the box because it's not considered a tent. Omar Savar, where's Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, holds like his father, that Ohel Zaruk, Shmei Ohel, that even though the structure is moving, it's still considered a structure. Even though the barriers are moving and the floor is moving and the roof is moving, it's still considered a structure. So it stops the Tumah from getting into the structure. So the same thing would be true over here. If you hold, the Tumah can be stopped by a movable structure, So then even a cemetery is accessible to a Kohen because he can get into the cemetery in a box. He can get into the cemetery in a wagon box, in a closet box. He can get into the cemetery without becoming tummy. Yeah, what's the question?
We talked about this yesterday, Rabbi.
Yeah, we're reviewing, yeah.
But you said it's not like, you know...
Well, we paskin like Rebbe, that a moving box does not stop the tumah. We don't paskin like Rebbe Yosef Yehuda. Halacha is like Rebbe.
And why he would put his food in the middle of a cemetery, knowing that if he goes there...
Puts his food there because that's the right location for him to be able to carry, to walk further. It's the right spot for him to be able to walk further. And it's a safe spot. It's not going to, the food won't be eaten by the animals. It's a safe spot.
So, but then the next, for Shabbat, he would go to that location.
No, he doesn't have to go to that location. Where he's allowed to walk starts from that location, 2,000 amos in each direction.
To the cemetery, but then go inside.
Right, that's right. So now the Gemara asks, Rahad Tanya. Yeah, question.
How can a Kohen fly on a plane?
Yeah, it's a big problem. Or flying in the planes with the bodies, right? These are problems, these are challenges, yeah. So one of the answers is from Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says that the material that the plane is made out of is aluminum. And he said aluminum doesn't have the ability to become tameh. But yeah, these are interesting questions. But Tanya, this is we learned in a braisa. Now starting today's daf. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says... Ma'arvin l'kohen tahor b'tshuma tahora b'kever. You can make an Eruv Tkumin for a Kohen who is tahor with truma that's tahor that you put down on a grave. So, Hechi Azil, how's he going to get, how in theory could he get to that food? Okay, again, he's not going to become tame through the graves because he could go b'shita tevo migdom. He could go transported in a wagon, in a box, in a closet. I don't understand. This is a question that should bother us. Hakevan da'achta itmalei. But I understand, once you put the truma on a grave, then the truma became tame. Once it's truma, which is tame, it's not edible, because it has to be burned. The answer is b'shlo hukshra. We're talking about truma, which doesn't have the ability to become tame, because we know one of the laws of making something able to become tame is it has to first be rinsed off. Right? The Torah says, ki yutan mayim al zera. The seed has to be picked and then rinsed off. So we're talking about food that was never rinsed off. So it could even be a cake. And the cake was flour that was kneaded, not with water, but kneaded with a fruit juice. And we know that there are seven liquids that are the types of liquids that rinse things off. Yad shachatam, which is wine, blood, oil, milk, dew, honey, water. So fruit juices, orange juice, apple juice is not one of the seven liquids. So a cake made out of the fruit juices is also something which was never rinsed off. So that's the question still. Hechi maisila. How's he going to be able to take the food off of the grave? After all, the moment he stands over the grave and leans over, he himself is a tent over the grave and he becomes tameh. So the food's not accessible to the Kohen. The answer is, he can get the food off of the grave using a plain wooden utensil. Plain wooden utensils don't become tumah. So I ask, but this plain utensil, what type of a thing are we thinking about? Probably a spatula. So the spatula over the grave is now a tent over the grave. It becomes tumah. He brings the fruit with the back of a plain wooden utensil, like with the stick, the edge of the stick. The poke of a stick. It doesn't have a surface that's a tefach wide, so it's not going to become a tent over the grave, and you just sort of stab the food that's on the grave and pull it out. Yeah, okay, if that's the case, my time drabbanim. Why drabbanim say that you can't put an eruv for a kohen on a grave? You can always get the food with wooden sticks. Kasavri, they hold the following idea. Aser liknos bayis. What's the logic of an Eruv Tchumen? That's my new spot. So my new spot is sort of like my new home. This is my home for Shabbos. My home for Shabbos is not where I am. My home is where my food is. But if my food is on a grave, it basically means that I'm turning the grave into my home. So if the grave is my home, I'm basically using the grave. That's another problem. We're not allowed to get benefit from a grave. This is called getting benefit from the grave. So, okay. Yeah, being cursed maybe even. So Michlal, so Rabbi Yehuda said that the Kohen could put food, could even put Shuma on the grave. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Mutter, Rabbi Yehuda holds you're allowed to use a grave. So when I said, listen, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees you're not allowed to use a grave. But we know that you're only allowed to make an Erev Tchumen when you're trying to get more walking rights in a particular direction because you want to do a mitzvah in that direction. You want to go visit someone who's sick. You want to go to a shir. It's only for a mitzvah. So Rabbi Yehuda holds mitzvah slavli hanos nitnu. When the benefit is that you're able to do a mitzvah, that's not called benefit. The law that you're not allowed to get benefit from things is physical benefits. But the right to do a mitzvah, that's never called a physical hana.
So Rabbi, the only food gets tameh, becomes tameh, is it truma food? Or, you know, our food, let's say in the cemetery, it won't get tameh?
Our food can become tameh, but it doesn't matter because we're all tameh anyway. We can eat tameh food. But truma, which becomes tameh, has to be burned. So then it's not food anymore because now you have to burn it. You're not allowed to eat it. You can't get benefit from it. Says the Gemara, but this that Rava said, mitzvah slavli hanos nitnu, that a mitzvah is not considered an act of hana'a, and when you're fulfilling a mitzvah, you're not getting hana'a. Maybe that's a machlokas tanoi, this machlokas, whether or not you could put truma on top of a grave for your eruv tchumen. Basically this argument, whether or not you could use a grave as your spot for eruv tchumen. Amalach Rav, Rav will tell you, Isvir Luhudei Marvin Elu Dvar Mitzvah Dekuli Alma Mitzvah Slav Lehenos Nitnu. Now everybody agrees, mitzvos are not considered hana'a, and when there is prohibitions of getting pleasure, you're still allowed to get the pleasure of doing a mitzvah through something. But Achav HaKamivagi, here the argument is really about Eruv Tchumen. Mar Savar one holds, Ein Marvin Elu Dvar Mitzvah, that Eruv Tchumen is a mitzvah activity, because you can only adjust your spot for Shabbos if it's for the sake of a mitzvah. Whereas the other opinion holds ma'arvan afilu dvar rishus, you're even allowed to adjust your spot for just an optional act. And since you're allowed to adjust your spot to fulfill an optional act, therefore putting the eruv down on a grave is not possible, because now you're making the grave into your house to enable you to walk further. And you're going to be walking further for some secular purpose. So you're going to be getting hana. You're going to be getting benefit from a grave. Ask the Gemara, Lahad Amar Rav Yosef. But this Rav Yosef said, Ein Ma'arvin Elu Dvar Mitzvah. They only put down an Eruv Tchumin to enable you to walk to fulfill a mitzvah. Le'meket Tanoi Amar L'Shmaite. So now you're saying that that's an argument of the Tanoi. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef will tell you, to Kuli Alma Ein Ma'arvin Elu Dvar Mitzvah. Maybe everybody agrees that you only make an Eruv Tchumin for the sake of walking to fulfill a mitzvah. And everybody agrees mitzvah slavli hanos nitnu, and everybody agrees that mitzvah fulfillment is not called hana'a. But this is the argument. Mar Savar, one holds, came in the kanalei eruv, lo nichalei dimintura. Once he's acquired his eruv, so he doesn't care that the eruv is in a safe spot. The eruv already accomplished its goal at the very beginning of Shabbos. So really, he's not using the grave. He doesn't care that his home is in the grave. He has to acquire the Eruv. However, Marsav, the other one holds, Nichle Dimintra. He's getting benefit from the fact that the Eruv is in a protected spot. The Yitzvich Achille, because he might actually want to go eat it. And if he wants to eat it, he wants the food to still be there. So since he is still getting benefit from the grave, that's called using the grave, benefiting from the grave. Benefiting from the grave is not allowed, and that's why he can't do it. Because this is already a benefit beyond the mitzvah. Notice there's one point, which is the mitzvah. The mitzvah creates my right to walk. You know, I'm allowed to walk further because I put down an Eruv Tchumen. So, but that's for a mitzvah that I can walk further. So that's not called hana'a. But now there's another point. Besides the fact that my tchum has been expanded, the very fact that my food is on the grave helps me, because the food is now preserved. I might come and eat it sometime over Shabbos. So there's a benefit that's ongoing. So that benefit which is ongoing, which is not necessarily the mitzvah part anymore, it's just about having food, that already can be a problem because I'm not allowed to be getting benefits from graves. You know, this is a very important Gemara, a very classical question. We have a rule, mitzvah slavli henos nitnu. So let's say a person takes a vow, for whatever reason, some woman makes a vow, she says, I'm never going to take a bath. A vow, all bathtubs are prohibited to me, all water is prohibited to me, I'm not taking baths for a month. And now it's her time to go to the mikveh. So we would say, okay, you still go to the mikveh. It's not considered that you're getting benefit by going to the mikvah, because mitzvah slav lehenos nitnim. It's a mitzvah to go, and mitzvahs are not called benefit. But what happens if it's she's very sweaty, and going to the mikvah, besides being the mitzvah, is also a side benefit of alleviating the sweat? That's the skamar. Right? That besides the benefit of the Tchum Shabbos, there's another benefit, that the food is actually preserved and you can come get to it. And that's what the Gemara here is saying, is actually an argument, whether when there's a secondary benefit, whether that says, okay, now it is mitzvah lehanos nitnim, now it is getting a benefit from a mitzvah, and when there's isurei hana, you cannot take advantage of those benefits.
So Rabbi, the cemetery being tamei for kohanim.
Right.
So you cannot fly over the cemetery.
If you hold,
how far this flight is all the way to Shomayim?
Yeah. If you hold that a moving structure does not create tahara, yeah, it would be all the way up to Shomayim.
Okay. Now, in the meantime, on the ground, you could walk away one block away from the cemetery.
Right. That's
so
right.
So you go just straight up. Without
6 feet away. 6 feet away off on the sides. Right. There's a difference between what's on top and what's on the sides. That's right. Okay, now the next Mishnah, this is a Gemara that we're familiar with. We've seen this Gemara in other places in Shas as well. Again, to put down the Eruv Tchumin, it has to be food that's edible. So Ma'arvin B'Demai, you can put down your Eruv Tchumin with the food called Demai. What is Demai? Demai is food that rabbinically you're not supposed to eat because it's food of an Ama Aretz. When you're a farmer in Israel, so what grows, you're supposed to harvest what grows, pile it up. That's called miruach, to smear out the pile of the grain. And then once you smeared it, you smoothed out the pile of the grain, you're supposed to separate a certain percentage. At least, you know, the Torah says at least one kernel, and the rabbi said at least 2%. So you take off 2% and you say, this is truma gadola, I'm going to give it to the Kohen. Then you take out of what's left 10% away, and you say the 10% is maaser rishon, this is going to the Levi. And you take away out of what's left another 10%, and in years 1, 2, 4, and 5, you say, this extra 10% is going to Yerushalayim, this is Ma'aser Sheni. In years 3 and 6, the second 10% is going to go to the Aniyim, to the poor people. It's a lot of money to give away. It's 22%. So we're worried that the Amaratzim, they don't do it. They're not so knowledgeable. They're not such big believers. They're going to try to keep all the money for themselves. They're not going to be looking to give away money. So because we're worried that the Amaratzim didn't do it, the rabbi said, when you buy produce from an Am Haaretz, treat it as if it wasn't, that the Maisos and Trumos weren't given away. Demai, this we don't know. Really, most Am Haaretzim do give it away, but some a significant amount don't. Therefore, all food from an Am Haaretz you're not allowed to eat until you separate Trumos and Maisos from it. Again, just misafik, out of a doubt. However, if you had some Demai in your house and Am Haaretz gave you some food, you're allowed to put down that food as your Eruv Tchumen. The same would be true with Maaser Rishon Shenitla Trumaso. If you had food that was Maaser Rishon and the Trumas Meiser, the 10% of the 10% were taken out of it to give it to the Kohen, now you're allowed to eat the Maaser Rishon. That also can be used for Eruv Tchumen. The same is true with Meiser Sheni, that was redeemed, or Hekdesh, or holy consecrated foods, Sheniftu, that were redeemed. Kohanim can make an Eruv Tchumen with Challah, Avalo B'Tevel. But if you had food that possibility that things weren't taken from it. You know that the Truma and Meiser weren't taken from it. Tevel. That you can't make Eruv Tchumen with. Meiser Rishon Shlono Tchumaso. Or if you have Meiser Rishon, where the Truma's Meiser was not separated from it. Meiser Sheni V'Hektish Shlono Niftu. And Meiser Sheni or Hektish that were not redeemed, that you certainly cannot use for Eruv Tchumen. Yeah, question.
But Meiser Sheni, which was redeemed, is it not?
Correct.
So why would the Mishnah have to mention it?
Very good question. The Gemara will ask, and the Gemara is going to answer. We're talking about where the redemption wasn't done 100% right. It was done in a problematic way. Okay, again, v'lo ma'aser rishon shlo nitnu trumaso, you can't use for your Eruv Tchumen ma'aser rishon where you didn't take out of it the trumas ma'aser. You can't use for the Eruv Tchumen ma'aser sheni or hekdesh shlo niftu, because these are things that are not edible. And if the food is not edible, it doesn't shift your spot, and it can't be used as your Eruv Tchumen. Ask the Gemara, Demai, how could you make an Eruv Tchumen with Demai, halo chazili, but it's not edible because we assume that the Amaratzim didn't separate ma'aser, so it's not kosher. So the Gemara answers, it is edible, because Demai is only a rabbinic prohibition. But since it's only a rabbinic prohibition, the rabbis didn't make this prohibition for the poor. A person can say, I renounce ownership to all of my property. If he renounces ownership to all of his property, he became a poor person. Then he's allowed to eat it. So therefore, hashtanam, even if he hasn't renounced his property, chazile, it's considered something which is edible to him because he could renounce his property. This is going to the Mishnah. We've learned it actually in the first paragraph. You're allowed to feed poor people, d'mai. Besach sanai, d'mai. You're allowed to feed the soldiers, d'mai, as well. Amar Avuna, Avuna said about that Mishnah. Again, we learned this back at the end of the first paragraph. We don't feed the poor people with tamai. And Besil say, we could feed the poor people with tamai. Okay, next case. Maisa Rishon, that the Chumas Maisa was taken out of it. You can use it for Eruv Tchumin. Of course, it's kosher. And so the Gemara Lo Tzricha, the case is that it wasn't done in the right order. The right order is that the grain is cut, the grain is then piled up. Truma Gedola is taken out of the grain, then Maaser Rishon is taken out of the grain, then out of the Maaser Rishon, Trumas Maaser is taken out, and then Maaser Sheni is taken out of what's left in the pile. That's not what happened here. What happened here was Shikdimu Bishibalan. This Maaser Rishon that we took the Trumas Maaser out of it, this Maaser Rishon was taken by the Levi when the stalks were still standing, before the grain was piled and smoothed out. And nitlami menu trumas meiser. So the trumas meiser was taken out of the meiser rishon. But lo nitlami menu truma gedola. But truma gedola was never taken out of the meiser rishon. So again, what normally happens is that the grain is harvested, it's piled up, and then it's smoothed out. The smoothing of the grain pile is the finishing of the manufacturing of the grain. And then you take out of it truma. And then you take out of it meiser rishon. Out of the meiser rishon, you separate 10% of that as trumas meiser. And you take out Maaser Sheni from the pile. That's not what happened here. What happened here was that the Levi came to the field. He said, I mamish need food. You got to help me out. Give me. So the farmer said, but you know, I haven't finished the manufacture of the food. He said, no, give me. He said, okay, go take. So the Levi went, and the Levi took from the stalks, 10% of the stalks. So the Truma Gedola was never taken. So really, in theory, we should be saying, after the Trumas Maaser is taken out of the Maaser Rishon, he should also now take Truma Gedola out of the Maaser Rishon, because the Truma Gedola was never taken from this stuff. And that's the Chiddush. You don't have to do that. Kidir Bavo, Amresh Lakish, as Bavo taught, there's a special limud, a special derivation from a verse. Amr Bavo, Amresh Lakish, Bavo said in the name of Resh Lakish, Maaser Rishon, Shekdim B'Shibalam. If the Levi came first, the Levi got the Maaser Rishon from the stalks before any Truma Gedola was separated. Patumi Truma Gedola, he never has to separate Truma Gedola from it. Because the verse says, "Vayirmosim imenu trumas Hashem," and you're going to take out of the Maaser Rishon a truma to Hashem. Maaser mina maaser, 10% of the 10%. Maaser mina maaser, amarti lacha. You have to take out 10% of the Maaser Rishon and make a trumas maaser. But the lone truma gedola, utrumas maaser mina maaser. But you don't have to take out of the maaser Rishon both truma gedola and trumas maaser. Amalei Papa Abaye, Rav Papa said to Abaye, "Iyaki, if that's the case." So it shouldn't only be if the Levi came first and the Levi took the Maaser Rishon from stalks. It should be even if the Levi came and he took the Maaser Rishon from a pile that was smoothed out. Amalei, so Abaye said, no, Alech, about your case, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Mikol Maaso Seichem, from all your maestros, Charimu as Kol Trumas Hashem. You should take out all the Trumos of Hashem. So all the Trumos implying not just Trumas Maaser, but even Truma Gedola. So Mara Isa, so why do you say that you have to take out of Maaser Rishon Trumas Maaser as well as Truma Gedola when the Maaser Rishon came from a pile, but you don't have to take out of the Maaser Rishon Truma Gedola when the Maaser Rishon came from stalks? The answer is very simply, Hai Idgan. If there was a pile, so once there's a pile, that creates the obligation of Truma Gedola. Once there was a pile and it was smoothed out, there's a Truma Gedola obligation. So if the Levi jumps ahead and he takes Maaser Rishon, he still has to now take out of his portion the Truma Gedola. However, Vahai Lo Idgan. But if he took it from stalks, the obligation of Truma Gedola hasn't started yet because there was no finishing of the manufacture. So then he snuck in a way to avoid having to give Truma Gedola. He's going to get Maaser Rishon. Again, out of the Maaser Rishon, he has to separate Trumas Maaser, but he doesn't have to give Truma Gedola.
So he messes everything up. But now he ate the Kohen's food too, right?
He gets away with it because of the pasuk.
Yeah.
He gets away with it because of the pasuk. All right, then the Mishnah said, Ma'aser Sheni Behekdesh, and if do, this was Gabriel's question. The Mishnah said, if you want to make an Erev Tumen, you can use Ma'aser Sheni or temple trust property that's been redeemed. So Gemara says, Gabriel's point, pshit, it's obvious. Once it's redeemed, it's Chumen. So of course you can use it for Truma, for Erev Tumen. Lo Tzricha, the answer is, Shenas and Asakaren. The person didn't redeem it the right way. He only paid the principal amount, Velo Nas and Asachomesh, but he didn't add the extra fifth. And that's the chiddush. Even if you don't add the extra fifth, the holiness has been removed. Have a little bit of tevel, but you can't make an eruv tchumin with tevel, with food that no truma or mice were taken out of. Sheet, of course, that's obvious. Says the Gemara, lo tzricha, we're talking about the tevel, tavel midrabanan. We're talking about tevel, which is only tevel rabbinically. Why is that? Kigon shazor, atashenu nakuv. This is plants that were growing above ground. They were growing in flower pots that are detached from the ground. So midoraisa, it's not obligated in trumas and maisos. So even that which is only non-kosher food based on a din d'rabbanan, on a rabbinic law, also can't be used for eruv tchumen. Then the Mishnah says, v'lo b'maiser rishon shalotet v'trumaso. You can't use for eruv tchumen maiser rishon where the trumas maiser was not taken out of it. Sheet, of course, it's not edible. It's not kosher. L'tzricha, the answer is, Shikdimu Bakri, we're talking about Maaser Rishon that was taken from the pile of the grain before Truma Gedola. And really, Venitna Rimenu Trumas Maaser. And the Trumas Maaser was separated from this Maaser Rishon. It's just the Truma Gedola that was not taken from the Maaser Rishon. Lo Nitna Rimenu Truma Gedola. Truma Gedola wasn't taken out of it. Ma'aratim would thought to say, Kedar Malayar Papala Abayit, that even in this case, we would have the law of Maaser Mena Maaser, but not Truma Gedola plus Maaser Mena Maaser. Kamashman Kiddushanile, and the Kiddush is the answer of Abaye from the words Kol Maaser, Kol Chumas Hashem, from the fact that the Pasuk says sometimes you have to give all the Chumos, even the Chuma Gedola too. You see that in the case of Idgan, in the case where there was a pile first and then everything started, you still have to separate the Chuma Gedola. The Lob Maaser Sheni Vektish Lo Niftu. You can't make the Eruv Tchumen with Maaser Sheni or Hektish that were never redeemed. Of course, Pshita, it's not edible. But the answer is Shepedan v'lopedan kil chasan. They weren't redeemed well, but they were redeemed partially. Maaser shepedo al gabe asimon. The maaser sheni is when you redeemed it onto a piece of metal that didn't have any picture of a government on it, right? So we take a quarter. A quarter's got the picture of George Washington on it. But if you just had a piece of nickel, a piece of metal, that would be called an asimon. Rachman Amar Hashem said v'tzarta kesef. You have to bundle the money. But the way the Gemara reads it, the word from v'tzarta is similar to the word tzura, shape. Kesef sheyeshal of tzura. It has to be money that has on it the shape of Augustus or of Caesar or Ptolemy or whomever that ruler is to make it a currency. Hekdesh, what are we referring to when we talk about temple trust? It's not redeemed well. Shechil lo gabe karka, that was redeemed on top of ground. It also doesn't work. Rachman Amar, because Hashem said, v'nasana kesef ekamlo. He has to give the money, but not land, which isn't something you can give because it's not movable. Okay. Next Mishnah, Hashaleach Eruvo, somebody who sends his Eruv Tchumin to a spot where he wants the Shabbos to begin for him. But he sent the food for the Eruv Tchumin, Biyad Chayr Shot V'Katan, in the hands of a minor, or an imbecile, or a deaf mute, or Biyad Mishen Amod Be'eruv, or he sent it in the hands of a heretic who doesn't believe in Eruvim, namely the Kutim, who don't believe in the oral tradition. Eno Eruv, it's not going to be a kosher Eruv. Because when you put down an Eruv in a certain way, it's like an acquisition. You're making that your house. So a child can't acquire for himself. He can't acquire for you. And a person who doesn't believe in it, so it wouldn't work for him because he doesn't even believe in it, so he can't do it for you. He can't be your agent. However, Imam al-Acher l'kablo mimenu. But if you tell the child just to carry it to a certain place, and then a Jew who's an adult takes it from the child, and the Jew puts it down, I raise the Eruv, it would be a kosher Eruv. The katan lo, can a child not put down the eruv? I have amar avuna katan govesa eruv. Avuna used to say children can collect the eruv. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, that's a different type of eruv. That's when we say that a child can't create the eruv. That's eruv etzchumen. Because if a child puts down the eruv tchumen, we're trying to say that the child's creating that spot as Zev's house. But the child can't create a house for me. He can't buy things for me. But when we talk kan be'eruv chatzeros, then there's another law. There's a law of eruv chatzeros. If you have lots of court houses opening up into a courtyard, so everybody can contribute bread into one basket, and then that basket means all the houses are one house. So a child can also collect it. He doesn't have to create a certain acquisition. So a child also can be the one who collects the bread. You can't have putting down the Eruv for you someone who doesn't himself believe in Eruv. Man, who are those? Rav Chisda Kutai, these are the Samaritans, the Sadducees, the Baitusim, the Karayim, the heretics who don't believe in the oral tradition and don't believe in the rabbinic law. However, if you told an adult to take it from the child and the adult puts it down, it isn't Eruv. Ask the Gemara, why aren't we worried that the child won't bring it to the adult? As Rav Chisda is going to say, when you're standing and supervising that he does it, here too we're talking about where you're standing and supervising that he does it. Maybe the adult won't take it from him. Answered the Gemara, Rav Yechiel, Rav Yechiel answered, Chazaka, you can presume Shliach Osa Shlichuso, the emissary will fulfill his mission. Achanami here as well. Chazaka, you can presume Shliach Osa Shlichuso. Where was the lesson of Rav Chisda taught? Rav Yechiel, and the lesson of Rav Yechiel, that you can presume Shliach does his responsibilities. Ahayitmar was taught about the following case. The time we lived in Braisa. Nasnal Apil, if you give your Eruv Tchumin to an elephant, V'holicho, and the elephant carried it to the spot you want, and the elephant put it down. L'kof, where you gave it to a chimpanzee. V'holicho, and the chimpanzee took it to the spot you wanted, and the chimpanzee put it down. Ein ze Eruv, that's not an Eruv. Because again, part of putting down an Eruv Tchumin is that becomes my new home. It's like buying something for me. An elephant can't buy anything for me. A chimpanzee can't buy anything for me. They can't acquire for me. However, if you told some adult, the elephant's going to bring it to you, and you'll take it from the elephant, and you'll put it down, then there is an Eruv. That's a good Eruv. I have a dual mon lo mam tile, but maybe the elephant won't bring it to him. How do you trust the elephant? We're talking about where you're standing and watching that the elephant did it. But maybe this guy who you asked to take it from the elephant is not going to do the job. Rav Yechiel, Rav Yechiel answered, Chazaka shliach osa shlichuso. There is a presumption that when you ask somebody to do something, there's a presumption of chazaka that the shliach will fulfill his shlichus. He will do his job. Ad kan, daf lamed aleph.